Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Go! from the drum Northern Cree off their Canyon Records CD entitled Nikamu, which in their language means to sing. The name of that song was The Dream. Dreams in Native societies have special meanings. They provide spiritual guidance. Dreams teach many important lessons, and dreams illuminate one's purpose and path in life. I featured that tune as an honor to today's program guest, Mr. Harvey Wasserman. Harvey has a dream for the future well-being of our planet. It is expressed in his word, Solartopia. Solartopia refers to a green-powered Earth with a highly poisonous King Kong coal, oil, gas, and nuclear energy sources that threaten all life on the planet have been replaced by clean, safe, affordable, equitable, renewable, sustainable energy sources such as solar, wind, conservation efficiency, geothermal, ocean current, and algae biofuels. It is a dream which envisions social, economic, environmental justice for all peoples living in a democratic global world that cares for each other and protects our biosphere. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. One of the great pleasures I have being a journalist is the opportunity to talk with very special people who are working for a better world. Today's program guest, Harvey Wasserman, is one such person. He has been what I term a planetary warrior for much of his life. Harvey marched for civil rights, demonstrated against the Vietnam War and other U.S. interventions, was a member of the radical SDS, an organic farmer, a radio talk show host, historian, teacher, environmental activist, and journalist. Harvey is a prolific writer and has authored or co-authored a dozen books and many publications. Mr. Wasserman is an advisor to a number of organizations such as Greenpeace and the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. Harvey Wasserman has inspired many people, including myself, to fight for justice. His civil disobedience arrests include the Pentagon, Diablo Canyon, Seabrook, and the Nevada test site. I first met Harvey, as well as many other fine activists, in the 1970s, when I also became part of the anti-nuclear power movement. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I had the honor to assist my Wabanaki tribal elders form with anti-Seabrook nuclear plant activists what became known as the Clamshell Alliance, named after our sacred Quahog clamshell. I wish to share an essay I was asked to write for a Clamshell Alliance anniversary book. It is entitled Quahog Alliance, A Native Thought. Quote, Quahog, the native Algonquin language term for the northern bivalve mollusk, Mercenaria mercenaria, commonly called a hard clam, who inhabits intertidal waters of what's now called the Atlantic coast of North America, is a marine clam that is honored by my indigenous people, who are now called American Indians. The Quahog clam shell was not only a major source of food to seacoast tribal nations, but was also the material used to make our sacred wampum. Wampum is and was not just decoration for jewelry, and it was not money, as Europeans wrongly think. Wampum was in fact used to make treaty belts, which depicted native laws and codes of conduct of how to respect and care for each other and our natural world relatives, what in English is called nature, animals, birds, plants, soil, trees, fish, and marine life. Kinon Wontakwisin, all of our relations, as we say in my Wabanaki language. This is one of the most important teachings my Nichitanganooks, my ancestors, tried to express to the Wampiskatonk, the people from across the waters. In other words, the non-native settlers who came to our homelands from Europe. 356 years after the pilgrims washed ashore at Patuxent, Plymouth, the monster known as the Seabrook Nuclear Power Station threatened to poison and destroy a culturally and biologically special seacoast area that generations of Penacook and other tribal peoples inhabited, a place for fishing, clamming, a place for ceremonies. The formation of the Clamshell Alliance, to me, represents the spirit of the special Quahog Marine relative. It was a time when many different people came together to protect a part of Mother Earth and our own human species from the insanity of nuclear power. This, too, had been and continues to be a special concern to us American Indians who are direct victims of the nuclear fuel cycle, mining uranium on Indian lands, testing nuclear weapons on Indian lands, and trying to use Indian lands as nuclear waste dump sites. I remember Clamshell's New England No Nukes, No Dumps rally accompanying Grandma Madras and Sammy from Indian Island, when the Thiva spoke to our sisters and brother Clamshells about defending Mother Earth and fighting the proposed nuclear industry dump in our Wabanaki territory on Penobscot land, now called Maine. The spirit of the Quahog, the Clamshell, is needed now more than ever. The resurgence of nuclear power throughout the world requires people to come together again to defend Mother Earth and all life from a greedy political, economic insanity of nuclear energy and nuclear weapons. The Quahog reminds us to have reverence for all life, to live in a caring and peaceful manner with each other and all of our relations unto seven generations into the future. Kinonwantokwisin, all of our relations, unquote. In the 1980s, Wabanaki tribal lands were also threatened by a proposed U.S. government nuclear waste dump we fought against. I am proud to say that both Harvey and I continue fighting to protect Mother Earth and human health from energy development that rapes the land and impacts society. We advocate clean, safe, affordable, equitable, renewable, and a sustainable energy future. This is achievable through architectural and engineered conservation, efficiency, solar, wind, geothermal, and ocean current technologies. We say no more coal, oil, nuclear, tar sands, or natural gas. These poisonous energy sources not only harms all life on the planet, but is controlled by a dictatorial industrial elite whose greed has no regard for people or the biosphere. Recently, Harvey was visiting Florida to meet with those of us in the state that had been involved with fighting proposed nuclear power expansion by the utilities Florida Power and Light and Progress Energy. One of Harvey's stopover was here in Southwest Florida at the Hapatchi Center. Hapatchi is a special grassroots eco-community meeting place and educational center. In the cabin amidst the real Florida landscape, I had the privilege to meet again and interview Harvey Wasserman for this Wolf Mountain radio program. Before we listen to our conversation, listeners who wish to learn more about nuclear energy issues are encouraged to listen to our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices interviews with Mary Olson of the Nuclear Information Resource Service and our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices Program 2 interview from the 2009 Power Shift Global Climate Change and Energy Justice Youth Conference Series. It is now my great pleasure to welcome Mr. Harvey Wasserman to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much. My name is Harvey Wasserman. I have been involved in fighting nuclear power since 1973. I did get involved with the Clamshell Alliance, which you've linked to the Quahogs in your excellent articles and writings. I'm opposed to nuclear power. We've been fighting them for more than 30 years with some success. We are continuing this fight, and I'm here in Florida to talk about four nuclear plants which are proposed here, which should be stopped, two at Turkey Point and two at Levy County. And nuclear power needs to be stopped all over the world, and I think we're going to have to be able to do it. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to survive.
Harvey, thus far in our conversation, we have highlighted your dream of Solartopia, dispelled the myth that nuclear power is a clean, safe energy source that doesn't threaten our climate, the topic of nuclear waste and decommissioning atomic reactors, the scary record of nuclear accidents such as what happened at Three Mile Island, violations of U.S. laws and NRC standards, and finally we touched on risk and liability issues, including the Price-Anderson Act. One would think that after being aware of these serious nuclear energy issues, nuclear power would be on the way out. Unfortunately, this does not seem to be the case. The International Atomic Energy Agency's 2009 report projects significant increase in nuclear power throughout the globe. The professional industry organization, World Nuclear Association, lists some 50 new reactors under construction in 13 countries. This greatly adds to the nightmare of the current 436 nuclear power reactors operating in 30 countries worldwide. In the United States, I believe, there are some 100 nuclear power reactors in operation. Despite old age and deteriorating conditions at nuclear facilities, a number of electric utilities wish to expand their nuclear power capacity either by extending a plant's license time or building new reactors. As I previously mentioned, nuclear energy is also being advocated by politicians. Listening to the proceedings of the recent United Nations COP-15 Global Climate Summit, I even heard nuclear power endorsed by some in Copenhagen. Harvey, would you please comment?
The nuclear industry has been saying that there are going to be standardized designs and there will be new reactors that will come out like cookie cutters and everything will be hunky-dory. But the fact is that in France they have standardized designs, and when you have a standardized design and you have a problem with a standardized design, it affects all the reactors. And so in France they have this vessel head penetration cracking problem where the guides that lead the control rods into the core of the reactor are cracking. You find a crack in one, there'll be cracks in all of them. Now, the industry has proposed here in the U.S. to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission a reactor called the AP1000, which was designed by Westinghouse, which is owned by Toshiba. And Westinghouse has presented this design as a major player in the so-called renaissance of the nuclear industry. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has just come back and said, well, from what we can tell with this design, it can't withstand an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane. Now, you know, we have had an earthquake harm a nuclear plant in the United States at the Perry nuclear plant in Ohio. We have had a hurricane that went directly over the Turkey Point reactor in 1991, Hurricane Andrew. So these aren't abstract issues. And if at this point in time, after all this hype and all this money, the new reactor design can't withstand an earthquake or a hurricane, what are we talking about here? And they can't test it. You know, how do you test a nuclear plant under situations like that? We also have a situation with the older reactors. It is well known that metal, which is under tremendous stress on the reactor pressure vessels in the old reactors from heat and from pressure and from radiation, that the metals will undergo atomic change and become embrittled. And this is a serious problem for continued operation of nuclear plants, and yet we're not getting core tests of the reactor pressure vessels to see if they're dangerously embrittled. And this is something that is very, very relevant to the continued operation of these old reactors, which really need to shut down as soon as possible.
We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right, and this is our song. We've seen many a struggle in our so many years. Some ended in triumph, the others in tears. But we're the type of folks that are gonna join in a fight when we know that the struggle is proper and right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right and this is our song. We look towards the sun and we look towards the wind. There are many alternatives that make the turbines spin. If you want to join this struggle, the clans will stand with you. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right and this is our song. We know that it's not safe, we know that it's not clean. Don't want their plutonium nor the radioactive steam. This is our world, we want it safe, my friends. We'll fight this nuclear madness right till the bitter end. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right and this is our song. If you're against nuclear power, stand up and clap your hands. Let's send this no nuke message throughout this beautiful land. A new day is dawning, the sun is shining bright. If we all stand together, it's bound to come out right. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right and this is our song. The time it is coming, they'll have to hear our song. We're hand in hand together in strength and march along. There are other ways to light up our cities and our towns. From Diablo to Seabrook, we're gonna shut them down. We are standing here together with a bunch of our friends, helping nuclear power come to an end. This movement is growing and it's getting mighty strong, 'cause we know we are right and this is our song. 'Cause we know we are right and this is our song.
Come to the New England No Nukes, No Dumps Rally, April 12, 1986, Saturday, 11 to 5 p.m., rain or shine, at the Hampton Beach State Park, Route 1A, across the salt marsh from the Seabrook Nuclear Station in New Hampshire. Come April 12th to stand up for the health and safety of future generations, and join us as we gather at the Hampton Beach State Park, Hampton, New Hampshire, to send a clear message to the Department of Energy, to the state regulators, and the nuclear industry that New England will not be a national sacrifice area. We will not have nuclear power plants or nuclear waste dumps in New England. The April 12, 1986, Saturday, No Nukes, No Dumps Rally also marks the 10th anniversary of the first Seacoast Anti-Nuclear Rally. A thousand generations to come will be affected by our decision. So join us for the No Nukes, No Dumps Rally, April 12, 1986. And remember that Seabrook is also the site of a Penacook Indian burial site, a holy area to the indigenous peoples here. No Nukes, No Dumps Rally, music and speakers, April 12, 1986, Saturday, from 11 to 5 p.m. at Hampton Beach State Park, Route 1A,
across the salt marsh from the Seabrook nuclear station.
Just on the news, but it's fine that people took a stand, got out of their easy chairs. Go buy a helmet and a mask, come up and join us there. We are marching up to Seabrook, gonna ride another bay. We're marching up to Seabrook, gonna end this nuclear age. We are marching up to Seabrook for our children and our homes. We're marching up to Seabrook, won't you join and come along?
Music from the protest days of Seabrook. The name of that classic song was We're Standing Here Together. That song was like our Clamshell Alliance anthem. You also heard my Wolf Mountain Radio 1986 public service announcement encouraging people to come to a New England No Nukes, No Dumps protest rally across the salt marsh from the Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant Monster. As I mentioned previously, the U.S. government in the 1980s was very serious about putting a high-level nuclear waste dump on my Wabanaki Indian homeland. Thankfully, the nuclear dump was never constructed. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. My program guest is Mr. Harvey Wasserman. I call him a planetary warrior in honor of his lifelong activism for peace, civil rights, social economic energy, and environmental justice. Harvey is a prolific writer. He has authored or co-authored a dozen books and has published many articles. He is a teacher, grandfather, organic farmer, radio talk show host, and journalist. I know Mr. Wasserman from his many years of being an anti-nuclear activist similar to myself. I featured that last song as a reflection of how we first met through the Clamshell Alliance, fighting Seabrook, later the proposed nuclear waste dump on my Wabanaki Indian Territory. Now, as 2010 approaches, we are still fighting to defend Mother Earth from King Kong, coal, oil, gas, and nuclear energy. Harvey, as bankers and business people like to use the expression, the bottom line when it comes to nuclear power is the horrific health and safety record of the nuclear industry. Electric utilities spend millions of dollars on public relations, trying to deceive people about the dangers of nuclear power and how safe their industry is supposed to be. Earlier in our interview, we highlighted that there have been many accidents at nuclear facilities throughout the world. There have been numerous health and safety incidents at U.S. plants. Remember Diablo Canyon, Davis Besse, Seabrook, Comanche Point, and others I could cite. 1 week before the infamous Three Mile Island TMI Unit 2 accident, a Nuclear Regulatory Commission inspector, Jim Cresswell, met with two NRC commissioners, Peter Bradford and John Ahern, to express the concern that the TMI reactors were unsafe and should be shut down until the problems corrected. We know Nuclear Regulatory Commission inspector Cresswell's warnings were dismissed. Most of the time, violations of law and license standards are not reported in mainstream media. In fact, the nuclear power industry downplays the truth that people have died or been severely exposed to radiation at nuclear facilities. One example of significance to me as an American Indian is the Rio Puerco 1979 accident on the Dene Navajo Reservation. I was one of only a very few journalists that reported this story. Early in the morning of July 16, 1979, an estimated 100 million gallons of highly radioactive wastewater containing some 1,100 tons of uranium mine-tailing waste, breached the nuclear waste holding ponds, and poisoned some 50 miles of the Rio Puerco River. Most of the local residents were Dene Navajo and Hopi Indians. They were quite concerned and wanted information about the radiation effects to their families, subsistence crops, and livestock from the highly radioactive waste spill. It is important to know that many of those reservation residents, due to working for years in uranium mines, being exposed to wind-blown atomic radiation, and having their groundwater contaminated, were quite familiar with the lethal and debilitating health effects from radiation. I should also mention that the U.S. government knowingly built Indian housing and tribal schools with radioactive adobe. The uranium mill and radioactive waste storage site that caused this serious nuclear waste accident were operated by two big companies, United Nuclear and Kerr McGee. Kerr McGee gained notoriety from the death of Karen Silkwood. Karen was a worker at a Kerr McGee nuclear facility in Oklahoma. Karen was on her way to testify about the company falsifying safety records. Many believe she was murdered in order to prevent her evidence from being made public. As a native journalist covering this very serious Rio Puerco River nuclear contamination event, I remember the state of New Mexico's environmental agency reluctantly admitting that samples of reservation water were 6,600 times more radioactive than the maximum standards for public drinking water. Other important epidemiological information was not gathered. The capability of federal and state government agencies like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Environmental Protection Agency, Center for Disease Control, and Occupational Safety Health Administration to conduct inspections, monitoring studies, and enforcement actions is in most cases very minimal. This is due to budget shortages, lack of staff or equipment, and lack of political will to seriously oversee the operations of nuclear facilities. It's no secret how powerful the energy industry is in state capitals and in Washington, D.C. I believe a big reason why the Rio Puerco case was not important to either government officials or to the press was that the people who were victims were only American Indians. It seems that our lives matter much less than white Americans. Nuclear plants do release radiation into the environment. Venting atomic isotopes into air and water does poison a community within proximity to the nuclear plant. Atomic radiation also causes teratogenic, mutagenic, and carcinogenic impacts to humans. As an ecologist, I know radiation also causes these terrible genetic diseases and kills fauna, flora, and aquatic life. One tragic example was the April 1986 Chernobyl nuclear plant explosion in the Ukraine, then part of the Soviet Union. Dangerous amounts of radiation were detected across the world. Circumpolar winds and ocean currents transported radioactivity far and wide. Many sensitive ecosystems were contaminated, such as the poisoning of the circumpolar Arctic. One sad example is the situation of the Sami, who were once indigenous reindeer people. Prior to Chernobyl, Sami herded reindeer on the Arctic tundra. Their millennial way of life abruptly ended when atomic fallout from Chernobyl contaminated Lapland. Sami were forced to slaughter their animals and were confined to government resettlement camps reminiscent of American Indian reservations. Harvey, it is getting late into the evening, and since you have a busy day tomorrow, let me just ask you one last question. would you please share your thoughts about the crazy notion that nuclear energy is safe? Of course, the nuclear industry says that they have learned a lot about design and operation since their early days. They claim that the so-called new generation reactors are much safer. You've heard my comments in our conversation. Would you please express your views about whether nuclear power is indeed safe?
Nuclear utility industry has a terrible safety record because all these reactors do spew radiation on their so-called normal operations into the neighborhoods surrounding them. These radiation releases have been linked to childhood cancers, leukemias, birth defects, and it's an ongoing health disaster. The industry also suffered the accident at Three Mile Island, where an unknown quantity of radiation was released. People were harmed in the central Pennsylvania area. Nobody knows where the radiation went or who it harmed. They keep claiming that no one's been killed. We keep hearing this claim, no one's been killed by a commercial atomic reactor. It's ridiculous. We had 6 workers killed at the Surrey plant in Virginia. Other workers have been harmed, and certainly the public has been harmed. We also, of course, in the Soviet Union had the Chernobyl disaster, which is the worst human-made disaster in world history and spewed enormous quantities of radiation into the atmosphere. And so this idea that these reactors are operating well is utter nonsense. It's hype and it's a fantasy. The fact is that the reactors need to be shut. They are doing tremendous environmental, human health, and financial damage. The money that would go into new reactors needs to go into solartopian technologies, renewables, and to increased efficiency and to changing our basic structure so that we can survive on this planet, which we're not going to do if we continue to pour money into nuclear plants.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a man with a plan over here. I'm telling you, we've got to beware.
It's time we stop here.
What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
There's a new energy bill that supports clean energy. Only language has been inserted in the bill that supports nuclear power, which is not clean and not safe.
Let's get it off the bill now.
What a field day for the nukes. A $50 billion bill out on the books.
$25 billion for 2008. $25 billion more for 2009.
Why should the American people be subsidizing something that hasn't worked for 50 years?
Stop him. What's that sound? Everybody look at what's going down.
One of the worst things about nuclear power is that we have nowhere to put the waste.
It's deadly for 280,000 years.
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
The transportation of nuclear waste across all of our roadways, 50 million people are going to live within 2 miles of the transport.
You can't protect this stuff. There's no way. It's been proven. There's been too many leaks.
Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
It's time to stop. Hey,
what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Take responsibility, because it's our problem. It's not their, them. Us.
I mean, you know, where there's dirty power, there's dirty players. Remember that.
What's the sound? Everybody look what's going down. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Somebody let us stop.
Everybody look what's going down.
Well, there's something happening here.
Solar and wind have really blossomed in the last 30 years.
If you listen real close.
They're turning into billion-dollar industries.
You can hear it. Somebody's whispering in the corner.
The alternative energies have developed.
Telling secrets they don't want you to know.
The future's here now.
Somebody better stop y'all.
So nukefree.org.
And remember to sign the petition and call your congressman.
Thank you.
are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitichi Native Center. Yat-Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat-Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat-Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat-Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat-Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat-Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat-Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat-Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat-Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat-Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat-Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat-Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat-Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yat-Kitichi Native Center program identification featured Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, Graham Nash, Keb Moe, and Ben Hopper. They performed this adaptation of Buffalo Springfield's classic song For What It's Worth. They sang that song to help stop a $50 billion loan guarantee that the U.S. Congress was going to provide the nuclear power industry. The New York Times stated, quote, "A one-sentence provision buried in the Senate's energy bill, inserted without debate at the urging of the nuclear power industry, has the potential to considerably expand the nuclear industry, which plans to build 28 new reactors at an estimated cost of about $4 billion to $5 billion apiece. Unquote. The music video of the performance was produced by the fine organization NukeFree.org, which today's program guest, Harvey Wasserman, co-founded with Tom Campbell in 2007. NukeFree.org works to stop construction of new atomic reactors and to close those now in operation. NukeFree seeks a truly green-powered Earth run entirely on renewables and energy efficiency. That vision is shared by Yad Kiddushi Native Center.
Indian legislation's on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rule. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart in wounded knee. To guide our hand and sign our Mother Earth over to pollution, war, and greed.
Get quick.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Deep in the earth.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Cover me with pretty lies.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Covert spies, we get the liars by the fire, and we get the FBI's. They lie in court and get nailed, and still Peltier goes off to jail.
Don't match the gun.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
The name of the reservation.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Told us she died of exposure.
Down at the Y on Saturday nights. Oh, bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Deep in the earth.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Cover me with pretty lies.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Bury my heart in wounded knee.
Yeah.
music from singer, songwriter, and educator Dr. Buffy St. Marie off her EMI CD entitled Up Where We Belong. The name of that special song was Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Wounded Knee is a place of great significance to American Indians. Washington considers Wounded Knee to have been the end of the so-called Plains Indian Wars. Wounded Knee was also the site of the historic 1973 American Indian Movement occupation. Since Harvey Wasserman and I also share a love of the real truth of history, I offer this brief perspective. On December 29, 1890, the U.S. Cavalry massacred some 350 unarmed, half-starved, and sick Lakota men, women, and children. Under the leadership of Chief Bigfoot, those Minneconju set out in the middle of a harsh, cold winter to trek 150 miles in order to stay with Chief Red Cloud for protection. Nearly 2 weeks prior, on December 15, 1890, Chief Sitting Bull and eight of his warriors were murdered by U.S. Indian Agency police. This was also the time that the Ghost Dance, an intertribal spiritual ceremony, was despised and outlawed by the U.S. government. The Lakota were also very afraid of being forced to go to Indian territory, now called Oklahoma. They knew that reservation life was in actuality concentration camps. Although Chief Red Cloud and Bigfoot spoke for peace, Colonel James Forsyth and Major Samuel Whiteside set up four large Hotchkiss guns to surround the Indians. Hotchkiss cannons are able to fire 2-pound shells at the rate of 50 per minute. Army records list nearly 500 fully armed soldiers. The massacre of 350 unarmed Indians probably took less than 20 minutes. Those Lakota not immediately murdered were chased down and killed by 7th Cavalry soldiers who were heard by reporters yelling, "Remember the Little Bighorn," referring to the 1876 fight led by Colonel George Armstrong Custer. We Indians call that Little Bighorn skirmish the Battle of the Greasy Grass. Many people believe the Wounded Knee Massacre was in revenge of the Little Bighorn. February 27, 1973, the small hamlet of Wounded Knee was seized by members of the American Indian Movement and some local Lakota supporters. The occupation lasted 71 days. Wounded Knee exemplified how traditional Indians had put up with enough abuse, corruption, disregard, and neglect by Washington and puppet tribal councils, like that of Lakota Chairman Dick Wilson of Pine Ridge. Poverty, unemployment, poor health care, decrepit housing, lack of civil rights, stifled education, and destruction of the land for energy and natural resources were the conditions across Indian country. The American Indian Movement and many elders were fed up with the history of U.S. government colonialism, as in the violations of most every treaty. Tribal people wanted self-determination. We were tired of Washington's control over all aspects of Indian life. Wounded Knee was an ignition point. One major fuse were the uranium mining leases that not only desecrated sacred places, but contaminated the environment. The Lakota are just one of a number of tribal communities in America victimized by radiation. Yad Kiddushi Native Center urged listeners to watch the video Thunderheart to see a good dramatization of the situation that occurred on Pine Ridge and how the U.S. government allows Indian people and lands to be poisoned by the nuclear fuel cycle. Many of us traditional American Indians consider this energy war to still be going on and even escalating. One final brief note, CERT, Council of Energy Resource Tribes, created under President Ronald Reagan, is an association of many American Indian tribes and several Canadian First Nations band councils. They promote government and industry exploitation of energy from lands occupied by Native tribes. Well, dear friends, we are at the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I really want to again thank today's program guest, Mr. Javi Wasserman, for sharing his views on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Listeners interested to learn more about Solartopia, Javi's list of authored books, and issues he is involved with, please visit these websites, www.harveywasserman.com, www.solartopia.org, www.nukefree.org, and www.freespeech.org. We shall conclude today's broadcast with flute music by R. Carlos Nakai off his Kenyan Records CD entitled Sanctuary. The name of the song is Cimarron Sunset. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawantakwasin to all of our relations.